It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, 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 another week, another treat. Ali is away, but he will be back soon. But in the meantime, in between time, it is you and I. What's good with y'all? How you doing? What's up? Yeah? That's interesting. That is interesting. I'm glad to hear it. There you go. Yeah, I'm tapped in now. I'm tapped in. It feels good. Feels good to be here to chop it up with y'all. My week was cool. A nice week, man. I did quite a bit this past week, you know. Moved around, did some shows, went outside, got outside. I gotta get outside today. You know, I like to get outside. What's that record? I think it's Taliba something. I forget her name, but it's called Go Outside. It's on the IG. It's on one of the posts, but I like that joint. Get your ass up out of here. Just go outside. I might be paraphrasing terribly. Anyway. But yeah, man, nah, I've been chilling. Been out in the world and enjoying life. Been really enjoying life. I guess we at the midpoint of summer. This summer's been pretty front-loaded. Now I'm trying to figure out what these dog days are going to be about. You know, August is coming. It's about to get hot. Maybe humid. Who knows? About to be August. Ain't that some shit? This year is kind of flying by. What have I been up to, though? I'm in the midst of reading a couple books. I'm actually reading two books at the same time. I got quite a few books that I'm trying to get through. But my current right now, I'm reading a new... the new Fab Five Freddy memoir, Everybody Fly, and the Mara Brock Akil book, The Revelation of Dion Daphne. Both books pretty good. Both books really good, actually. Actually, I'm listening to the Mara Brock Akil book, and DeWanda Wise is doing the reading, so it's pretty good. It's pretty good, and I'm actually reading the physical copy of the Fab Five Freddy book, and that's good too. They both good. They both, you know, one is obviously memoir, one is fiction. Good storytellers, both of them. Reading the Fab Five Freddy book, you know, I'm at the beginning, probably like almost halfway through the joint. And, you know, he's talking about, you know, kind of being at the beginning of graffiti and hip hop. And what I like the most about it is just how explorative he is, you know, just how he kind of just followed his curiosity. Like he peeped it. He was like, yo, this is something special. And he tapped in and he, you know, sought out who's who of the beginning of the culture, you know, like with hip hop, they were calling it the Uptown Sound, you know. And in Uptown, you know, that can go anywhere from Harlem all the way to the Bronx. And him being from Bed-Stuy, that shit was like a foreign land. So he's like, yo, you know, they just starting to hear it. People are dubbing it on other tapes, and it's a dub of a dub of a dub. So, you know, I'm sure the sound quality is kind of crazy, but for whatever reason, the energy of it just sounded so different than anything they was listening to. And he was like, no, I got to find out the source. I gotta be where this is. I need to find this. Like one of his homies was like, oh yeah, you gotta come here. This shit is crazy. He's like, oh, count me in. You know, same thing with graffiti. You know, he just around when graffiti was just kind of starting and people were tagging up and things like that. And he started seeing pieces by Lee Quiñones. He was like, yo, this dude, whoever this dude is, he's way better than everybody else. And Lee was moving in, you know, stealth mode, quiet. Nobody knew who he was. You know, that's graffiti, the anonymity of it, right? So he ain't know who he was, but he was like, yo, this kid is crazy. So, he wound up tracking them down, and then they get cool, and they, you know, his whole thing was he wanted graffiti and hip hop, but like all of this street culture, he wanted it to be, he wanted it to be respected on a bigger level and not be just dismissed as street art or art for, you know what I mean, you know, ghetto scrawl or whatever, whatever that the, you know, the establishment would dismiss it as, especially back then, just that vandalism or whatever, especially since it was like black and brown people that were, you know, kind of at the forefront of it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he also had he had an affinity for art even prior to that. He was one of these people that would skip school and go to the different museums, and he was really big on Andy Warhol and Roy Lichtenstein and, you know, all these other, you know, pop artists and things like that. So he saw, like, this is the streets and pop art merged, and he's like, the people need to see that. Like, he, his vision was like, nah, this is how it needs to be presented to the world, you know? Like, this is how we're gonna, this is how we're gonna take it to that next level. He was that early on, you know? So it's just kind of cool because it's like, damn, the vision of it all, you know? And it made me be like, damn, you know, sometimes in the moment you might not see the future, you know? You know, like the people that got to see hip hop start, you know, like there was a lot of people that just kind of dismissed it. They didn't think it was going to be anything. A lot of people, you know, on record saying it's just a passing fad, you know? And other people were like, nah, this could be it. Even rappers themselves was like, yo, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, what is this? We just doing it to do it. I think there's a part where I think he, Fab Five Freddy says to Melly Mel, yo, y'all should make a record. He was like, for what? You know? So it's just, I wonder if I would have had that vision. And I'm inspired by that. Sometimes I wonder if my eyes are open. Are there things going on right now that is at the beginning of the, you know, this next wave of culture, you know, and do I see it? Or am I too old? Am I not tapped in? Am I out the loop? You know, that type of thing. Like, I'm just curious. Curiosity is a big thing. Like, you know, explore what you really fucking with. Because then hopefully there's some passion behind it. And, you know, whatever you're doing, you're passionate about, it's inspired work. And then typically that's good, you know, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Or at least it starts you down the path of some good stuff. So that was cool. And it was interesting, too, because I was talking to my brother-in-law and, you know, Freddie was talking about how Grandmaster Flash, like the early jams, they'd be down in like the gym down at Smith Projects. My brother-in-law from down there, he was like, yo, he was one of the promoters that was bringing Flash down there. I'm like, this shit crazy. You know, it's just so crazy how close it is, you know? And it's funny because it was just parties, you know, as far as he's concerned, you know what I mean? Like, he ain't looking at it like he was at the forefront of it all. He was just like, yo, it was something cool. It was a good way to make some money. It was fun. You know, it wasn't anything more than that. You know, it was like the present of it all. That's good in both sides to for those people that see, oh, yo, this could be something big. And the other people that are like, no, let's just enjoy it as it is. Let's be present in this moment for however long it lasts. It's good. It's good so far. I'm really feeling it. Talking about how they met Basquiat, you know, how he was tagging Samo, and you know how his approach to graffiti was a little different than what everybody else was doing, and how his shit would just have these little, like these real odd messages, like these little cryptic messages all over the place. And everybody was like, yo, who is Samo? Like, the people were like, who is Samo? Because that's the thing about, you know, graffiti and you know, getting up. People don't know who you are. Like, it's done in the cut. You know what I'm saying? Anonymity is key, so you can stay out there. It's like, yo, who this? So, and then they finally met up at, like, at a function that they were doing. It's a vibe. It's pretty good, man. It's pretty good. It's really... It's really cool. I always felt like, and I actually told him this, but I always felt like, you know, Dallas Penn, God rest the dead. I always felt like Dallas Penn was kind of on some Fab Five Freddy shit. You know what I'm saying? I used to kind of joke when I said he on some Fab Five Freddy, Ralph McDaniels type shit. You know, the certain people that know how to kind of curate the culture, peep certain shit, and then kind of not create, but translate the narrative or pull the things together and see how things are intertwined. I always thought my man had a talent for that. So, you know, yeah. Check it out. Everybody fly if you get a chance. And the Marbrock I Kill book, I don't want to spoil it because, you know, you could talk about Fab Five Freddy. You know who he is. You know, it's not fiction. But the Marbrock I Kill book is, you know, just about this woman who gets some news, like something, you know, something life-changing happens. And it kind of puts her on a quest to handle some things, to address some things, you know, because the stakes have gotten crazy high out of the blue. And it makes her kind of have to reexamine her life and, yeah, like really address some things that affected her that maybe she hadn't, you know, really given any real attention to, you know. But it's good. It's good. It's, you know, it's just, you could tell by just, well, I can tell by just listening to the, so far, the flow of the book. You're like, yo, Marbrock I Kill is good at storytelling. You know, I was never a big Girlfriends fan. I didn't watch it like that. You know, I know the theme song, you know what I mean? But, like, I never followed it like that. But I know people love that. I liked Forever a lot. You know, and other shit. But this is pretty good. It's pretty good, man. Shout out to the library. Actually, shout out to reading. I went to a reading event. Me and a homie, we went to a reading event yesterday. I think the thing is called Reading Rhythms or something like that. It's kind of like, it's like a gathering and everybody got a book. And then the people read their book kind of in silence for about a half an hour. And then they break off into groups and then they talk about the book that they reading. Then they go back and read for another half an hour. Then they break off into another group. And the second time the groups are broken up into like, where does your book fall under? Is it like a page turner? Is it like, I can't wait to recommend it to a book club or this, that, like different things. But basically it's just an opportunity for people to kind of engage in real life, brought to you by reading, you know. It's cool. It was actually pretty cool, you know, like, you know, me and my homie be laughing about the fact. He was like, yo, man, I don't know too many people that be reading. You like one of the only people I know that be reading and shit. I don't know why I got him sounding like that. But, I know there's some readers out there. I be talking to them. But, yeah, it was chill. It's interesting, like, how the curation of outside, like, you have to almost be deliberate about something that can be just so organic. Like, just go outside, like the records say. Or just go outside and just be into the world. Or maybe that's black when, like, and, like, the group, the age demo, it ranges from anywhere from like early 20s to like, I guess, late 40s and things of that nature. But there's a lot of young people out there. And I was talking to somebody earlier today that I think that obviously the pandemic did a number on society, right? And community. You got so many people that, you know, screens became almost like the default in which to interact with people. Right. And it is a whole generation somewhat of people whose formative years were behind screens. So they don't even have the touch point of just going outside and meeting people and just following your whims and your interests and, you know, exploring wherever you from and bumping into people and making friends in the world. Like that is I don't want to say that's old school because I would hope not. But And maybe it's because I'm older, but I think when I'm looking at events like this, it's like meeting people in the real world, there's a it feels like a more pronounced level of intention. Like, you know, like it has to be something constructed for people to be like, yo, we'll meet here. You know? I'm sure people are still just being outside, you know, and then people, you know, back in the day, you know, you meet people in school or you meet people wherever, groups, whether it's church or maybe the gym or, you know, playing sports or whatever, you know, work. I observe a lot. I've always been kind of observing, always been somebody to try to like peep the scene. And then, you know, because I do comedy and I like to kind of peep what's going on because I might have a take or I might want to comment on it. I definitely find myself like looking at human behavior, maybe trying to distill it to something that's funny. But then not even just that, but just looking at what's going on. You know, people are still fascinating to me. You know, all types of people. I was talking to this girl. She's from Alabama. She was telling me about like the trail rides, you know, like out there. Like, she's like, I ain't never been one of the trail rides, but you know, that's, I was like, yo, what's the trail ride? You know, I never heard about that. And it's just, it seems like it's a whole, you know, it's like a scene down there where they be on the trails and I guess they be riding around on like ATVs or whatever. And it's like, that's where they be partying at or whatever, you know. From what I understand, I'm not gonna look it up in this moment, but that's kind of the gist of what was told to me. I was like, damn, that's ill. Just within Black people, there's such diversity in how we hang out and intermingle. You know what I'm saying? Like it's cool. Ramble Ronnie. LeBron went to the Philadelphia 76ers. Wow. Remember when the news dropped, I was like, what? You know, I got a lot of friends from Philly. Sports has too. One of my homies that's like a super sports head, damn near analyst levels of obsession and insight. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my man, Wes Manchild, you know, who did the theme. You know, he's a sports head. Super Sixers fan, all Philly teams, Philly cat. So, you know, he's excited. It's interesting, though, because Philly is interesting. You know, Philly, they could be just as obnoxious as a sports town as New York is. Like Philly, Boston, New York, you know, those fans are like super invested and super over the top, right? But at the same time, I know just from peeping, the Philly fanboy, I don't want to say they fair weather, but they will hold you, your feet to the fire. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could go from being a hero to a fucking dickhead in one season. You know what I'm saying? So it's interesting. Shout out to my homegirl, Ray Sani. She was like, yeah. And I'm paraphrasing, but basically, like, it's interesting that LeBron would go to a team that will probably heckle him for being, you know, old, especially if he can't if he under delivers. You know what I mean? And I don't know if she said it, but I know a lot of, I think, you know, Jaylen Brown was, I want to say, caught off mic or on a hot mic or just behind the scenes kind of saying something to the effect that Bronny was trash. You know, so now you playing with Bronny Pops. Hopefully they had a conversation. I'm sure they did. But it's, you know, it's interesting. I say this, though. What's interesting is the fact that how 24 seasons in, LeBron still moves the needle, still affects the NBA in a real way. Adam Silver was like, yo, LeBron, come on. Like, let us know where you're going to go so I can set these schedules. That's crazy. That's Malcolm X outside the hospital power. What? 24 seasons in, old man LeBron still got the people going crazy. You know what I mean? Shout out to For the Culture Clothing. They immediately was right on the t-shirts. Got LeBron Street. You know what I mean? Which kind of slick. But yeah, man, I'm happy for Philly just in the way that I got people over there and I like that they excited. I'm curious how that shit gonna play out. The team is definitely stacked now, but legacy wise, I thought LeBron was gonna wind up going back to Cleveland or some more, you know. You know what I mean? Ride off in the sunset, try to catch another title, go home, the comeback kid. You know what I mean? He was like, "Nah, let's do something different. Let's do something different. Let's go to Philly. Let's go to Philly and maybe catch another ring." You know, some people saying that he's ring chasing. You know, but isn't everybody ring chasing? But I guess the jumping on other teams. You know, I was talking to my brother-in-law about that, you know, just how back in the day, you know, Jordan got all his rings with Chicago. Back in the day, for the most part, players stayed at the one team till they retired or the team got rid of their ass, right? And now these athletes move with way more agency, way more savvy. And they know how to play the market and go get a little bit more money and shit. Link up with somebody else. And, yo, let's bring our powers together and catch a ring together and bring up our market value. Maybe we move over here. Like, I don't think that's the worst thing. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a departure from the age old or whatever. But, shit, get this money. Sometimes I think people could be so hung up on, like, how things used to be or the traditional way that it kind of progress or innovation could get hated on even when people are benefiting, you know, and you know, on a new level, on a way that wasn't even thought about, or, you know what I'm saying? Meanwhile, I'm saying all this shit and I'm still AI resistant. I'm still nervous about AI. I feel a way about AI. I don't really dig it. I hate the AI flyers. I hate them shits. I just hate how they look. I hate how all of the AI flyers look the same. They look cheap. They look like they all coming from the same designer. I don't like that shit. But the AI is getting better because there's times when I'm like, nah, is that AI or it's not? Like, there's a lot of fake AI women like that. I've fallen victim. Like, damn, who that? That I got to say, wait a minute. Why that background so blurry? Why is that background so generic? Why? You know what I mean? What's going on here? Wait a minute. Why? She ain't got, no blackheads. She ain't got no cellulite. You know what I mean? Nothing, no. No matter which way she turn her head, the light still cascades the same. It take me about 4 or 5 posts. I'm like, wait a minute, she's fake than a motherfucker. Sometimes I could tell by what they be saying. I've seen this one AI women's podcast that you could tell is ghostwritten by dudes, because these beautiful women are just saying shit that niggas want to hear. Like, they out here saying, you know, the man. Why we need to be more submissive to the man is because they have the plan, and we got to be more patient with it. It just sound like a nigga like, yo, say this, yeah, say that. I'll be like, oh shit, wait a minute, yeah, let me see. This AI shit. I wound up seeing that shit quite a bit. Like, here we go, it's some more AI shit. I don't really fuck with AI at all. I haven't used it for nothing. I know some people use it for, like, the admin of it all. You know what I mean? Like, yo, help me, you know, break down these emails. You know what I'm saying? Give me a summary of what's being said in these emails. Help me return, say, you know, send this back. Look this up. All of that shit. Like, delegating. I always had a problem delegating to real people. So just delegating to the computer. I don't want the computer in my business. I'm funny, dog. I do not like the computer. I don't like nobody in my business, especially the computer. Boy, I tell you one thing that make me halt is some terms and conditions. And these little platforms hit you with the, hey, we got new terms and conditions. You know, check this out. Read this. And nobody's reading the full terms and conditions. But I'm like, huh. Then I had a friend of mine was like, yo, just put the terms and conditions in AI and be like, yo, Claude, is there anything that I should be wary of? And I'm like, see, now we got AI in our business. But any Luddites in the audience, anybody still on the Luddite side of things or still kind of resisting, or y'all all fucking with it? Because that's the other thing. That's the other side of it. Everybody like, I mean, it's too late now. I mean, shit, you might as well. Fuck. I mean, they already got all your information. And they might, but I don't want to just serve the shit up. Nah, fuck that. You know what I'm saying? Fuck that. Maybe I'm delusional. I'm not letting the government scan my retina. Especially this government. These niggas, I don't know what they're going to do with that shit. Who they selling it to? They look like they'll sell it to anybody. Speaking of the government, I just seen a clip of Trump at Lindsey Graham's funeral speaking. And he was like, yo, you know, everybody liked, well, not everybody. You know, again, I'm not even going, I got to veer a bit. He was a tough cookie. He said it to his wife. Hey, Karen, I don't know his wife's name. Hey, Lindsey's wife, Karen, Trish, you know, Lindsey, come on now. He was polarizing. Funny, this nigga takes one to know it. He's like, you know, but listen. You know what I mean? He's, I think wherever he is, I think I know. I think he's looking down. I think he's up there. Yo, Trump on the vamp out, on the ramble, is the worst but funniest shit. He gonna say whatever the fuck he gonna say. It's oftentimes the wrong shit to say, but he don't give a fuck. They was like, yo, LeBron's going to the Sixers. Who do you like better, LeBron or Jordan? He was like, you know, I like Jordan, I think, likes me. LeBron, I think he's racist. He don't like me. I like who likes me. Man, that man wasn't the leader of the United States, boy. He would be great for clips. He'd be one of the illest crowd work comics. LeBron went to Philly. We'll see how that goes. LeBron went to Philly. That means the Eastern Conference is super stupid. There's a lot of shit. You got Giannis over here. You know what I mean? Down in Miami. Still got the Celtics. You got Detroit. You got Halliburton coming back. You still got them Knicks. I'm glad we caught that chip, boy. I'm glad we got that ship last year because, you know, shit is getting crazy. It would be fly if we ran that bitch back, though. That shit would be, we just did the impossible, then did it twice. I see Versus, they got what, Ray J versus Tevin Campbell coming up. I forget what day that is. I feel like Versus, I don't know who's doing the promo for Versus, but I feel like I'm always finding out damn near like the day before. Or the day after. I'm like, damn, oh, there was a Versus? I totally missed this game and YG Versus. Not that I was going to be that excited about it, but I totally missed it. I haven't watched that. I haven't watched the Pretty Ricky B2K. Is it B2K? Yeah, Pretty Ricky B2K Versus. I heard Pretty Ricky slaughtered them. I wasn't surprised, but, you know. Yeah. Tevin Campbell versus Ray J. Seems like rage bait to me. You know what I mean? But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting because I'm like, 20 records? On either side, 20? That's the thing now. 20 records is still 20 records. 20 records. I mean, Tevin Campbell got some gems. Got some classics. And Ray J got a couple joints too. 20 records. I don't know about either one of them having a good 20 piece. My money's on Tevin Campbell because I think Tevin Campbell's going to be a better performer. I think he still takes it seriously. Ray J is actually a showman, damn near a carnival-like clown. You know what I mean? One of the kings of the realm of reality. So Never put nothing past Ray J. He'll do what it takes, you know, get knocked out when he's supposed to be dying. You know what I'm saying? All types of shit. That motherfucker do whatever. So he's shameless. So we'll see. But at the same time, you know, Tevin seems like he a consummate performer. Seems like he take it serious. You know,
he's from the...
He was co-signed by Prince, you know, so I'm sure Prince probably hit him with some game. So it's going to be interesting. If I watch it, it should be interesting. You know, I ain't going to lie, though. Yeah. What's your favorite Tevin Campbell record? Can We Talk? Can We Talk is the jam? I know Can We Talk has become one of those records that they play in the club. One of those, you know what I mean, kind of like... What Poison was. I think the Poison in the club might have finally subsided a little bit, but it was like one of the go-to throwback records where the crowd was like, oh, shit. And as far as Ray J, Wait a Minute was my shit. Back in that little Neptune's high. Wait a minute. That shit hard. I can't even front. Wait a minute. That shit was popping. That's a banger. That's a banger. Shy Finale. Finally watched this final season of the Shy. Down to the finale. This last season was an 8-piece. With mild sauce. You know, it was good. One spicy. It had no bite to it, but it was cool. It was cool. It was all right. I like some of the shit that, you know, I said it before, but I was rooting really this particular season for like Lene and Bakari. I really wanted them to make it, to flee. And you seen all of the foreshadowing and shit. I'm like, oh, they about to kill this nigga Bakari. Here you go. They about to kill him. And then and I was like, I'm talking to my sister. I'm like, there's no way they're going to end this series fucking Bakari getting killed. That shit don't even make no sense. That would be a bad taste. But then I had to think about it. I was like, well, shit. Lena Waithe kind of killed Queen and Slim with that same shit. You know, that fucked Queen and Slim up to me. I've never rewatched that movie. It was a good movie till the very end. I was like, get the fuck out of here. We watched that shit. I want to say it was either Thanksgiving evening or Christmas evening. That's when it came out. It was one of them days, one of them joints. And I was like, get the fuck. And it was in the height of black people, the height. I mean, it sounds crazy because it seems so ongoing. But it was at the height of, like, black people being killed by the cops and shit. A little bit of escapism. Motherfuckers getting killed by the cops. It was a beautiful movie all the way through. They was having a good time. They was on the run. I think they was on the run before Jay and Beyonce. They was on the run. Man, very end. Bah, 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 bah. Pardon me. Hope that ain't no spoil. I think that movie's at least 5 to 7 years old. Anyway. So I was like, well, she's known for it. Sure enough. Last scene after all that good wedding dancing and all of that, you know, that black joy. Here go, motherfucker, do the drive-by. Bakari get wet up. Bloop, 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 bloop. You know, I will say this. What I do appreciate about Lena, though, with the Shy in particular, her references, you know what I'm saying? Like, she'll reference, like, Do the Right Thing or... I feel like that's is that Carrie Weems? Like even the key art for this most recent season. I forget which artist she's referencing in that key art, but I think it's from the Table Collection or whatever. But I think it's Carrie Weems. I could be. I'm off the top right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm just freestyling, but. A Google would put me on to what I'm talking about. But I like that she kind of made an allusion to Menace to Society when Bakari got rocked. Going to Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? They out there moving the boxes. You know, it's Lene and it's Bakari. They about to pull off and leave the scene to a whole new life. No, 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 no. The hood gonna leave you here. right there on the lawn. Bop, 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 bop. Wet up. And 1 year later, they at the book signing. We see Lene, and we see a motherfucker with an old school kid in play. High top. Comical high top. Oh, shit, it's Bakari living. Not even in a wheelchair. Living like he wasn't shot up. Signing books. Whew, that's nice. That's good. That's good. They ain't kill him. But, yeah, the shy's over. You know, it was cool to see some of the people pop out. You know, Kevin came back. Showed up at the wedding. You know, moms came back. Showed up at the wedding. You know what I mean? It was all right. It was fun. It was fun. You know, we've been... If you've been watching The Shy for as long as The Shy's been on, you know, there's a certain level of, like, investment. And it's also funny when, like, they show, you know, when they go back. They only go back but so far, you know. They don't go back to the Jason Mitchell era. I guess, you know, that's controversial. You know what I'm saying? But Jason Mitchell, Tiffany Boone, like, that's kind of, that's the lost tapes. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit is a whole different show. I guess it's time we in the TV realm. We talking about TV. Let's talk about this House of the Dragons, episode 6. I don't know the name of the episode. House of the Dragon, season 3, episode 6, Faceless Men. This was a pretty good episode. There was some action in it. You know, it opens up. They got Cole and his squad. They coming through the land, you know, just trying to figure it out, staying ready, looking for battle. And they pull up on what seems to be the enemy, but they seem to be down. They seem to be dead, but it's just really the enemy doing the mannequin challenge. And boy, they were committed to it because they was committed to the one lookout was like, yo, I seen the enemy, but they look dead. Hey, Cole and his crew come up. Them niggas pop up, and it's just punks jump up to get beat down because they got up out the rose from the dead just to be put to, you know, rose from the fake dead to be really killed. And they had a real deal battle, boy. That was a good battle scene, and it just reminds, like, back in them days when it was dragons. But, you know, like, back in the medieval days, you had to wear armor, chainmail, and shit like that, and fight by sword in close combat before there was gunfire. Boy, that violence was brutal. They were brutal, boy. They was getting up. You was getting stabbed the fuck up, boy. Or you get your ass hit with a mace. That mace was, whoo, that shit was terrible. That shit was terrible. So they, Cole and his crew, you know, they hold it down. They stomped them out. Win the battle. Lo and behold, it did not win the war. Boy, they started forming from all sides. It was crazy. That shit looked like three block parties pulling up. All around, they surrounded. Damn. You know, Cole, you traitor. Committed treason. It's time to die. And then fucking Cole, I told you he gonna live and die by that sword. He was like, yo, I'm saying. It was two, I forget who it was. It's, what's my man's name? Who the two people that pulled up on him? It's not, damn, I hate that I be forgetting these people's names. Tyra, I don't know. But then two people pulled up on him. I forget. I'm sorry, y'all. There's so many motherfuckers on this show. They pulled up on him. They was like, yo. He's like, listen, if I fall on my sword or you take me, can you let my men survive? They was like, nah, everybody must die. We trying to build some shit with dead bones, and we ain't got enough bones. So Cole again, you know what I mean? Gangster to the end. He got on his Queen Latifah and set it off, going as Cleo. He turned into Cleo Cole. He did everything but light up a cigarette. Pulled out the old little handkerchief that Allison sent him with the little embroidered A, wrapped it around his sword. He was ready to go out with Lou, with a little, you know, little touch point of his woman. You know, he wanted Allison to hear about him. You know, he said that she gonna sing songs about me. He was ready. He's, you know, tying up his little sword, ready to go to war. They hit him with them arrows, which I thought was sucker shit. Homegirl off to the side, little sharpshooter, hit him with a three piece, two to the body, one to the straight to the cheek, almost caught him in the eye, and basically broke him down. And then they just collapsed on the rest of the army and got them up out of there. But yeah, that's the end of Cole. I'm just looking at my notes here. I got Rhaenyra's Dangerfield. I just call her Rhaenyra's Dangerfield because she gets no respect. Boy, they really dissing her. They got her. They just be, they don't really take her as serious as they should. You know, she's the queen. And her, you know, your grace. And they don't really respect her. They stay undermining her. I feel like the note for this season is more dragons. It's so many fucking dragons, man. I don't even know the name. So it's so many random ass dragons just popping up. You know, there's like dragon extras. Like there used to be so, not few, but it was just, you kind of knew every dragon. You know what I'm saying? Like you knew, oh, that's such and such. And that's Vhagar. And that's, you know, now it's like, yo, who that? Whose cousin is this? Who cousin dragon over here? This is old Rusty Dragon. This is, Wandering Dragon. Everybody out here. It's always like, you know, it's a lot of dragons is what I'm saying. We see that they done found Hayleen and Allison when they tried to flee. And Rhaenyra's, she's like, yo, what's going on, man? I'm trying to look out for y'all. You got me out here looking crazy. You know, these people barely respect me. You out here undermining me. You know, now I got to lock you down even harder. You know, and Allison's like, look, only reason we're trying to break out is because Helena, she's with child. And if the baby is a boy, that could be another level of pushback to your reign. And I don't want that to happen. So I'm really trying to do you a favor and all of this. And she's like, yo, listen, I don't want to hear all that shit. First of all, you could have told me this. But you moving real deceitful. I bet. We about to really lock it down. We about to damn near throw y'all in the bing, you know? So y'all are gonna be on extra, extra lockdown. I'll figure this out. I'll be back. So then she walks down the block with Miseria, White Worm or whatever, and she's like, yo, Miseria, you know about this? Miseria's like, no, I didn't know about this. Miseria knew about it, right? Am I bugging? I know Miseria pulled up on Allison and Helena when they had the little Plan B T, you know, and but then Allison drunk it. So I don't know if she threw Miseria off or Miseria was like, oh, she really committed to the bit. I feel like Miseria kind of knew what it was and just withheld that information with Rhaenyra. I believe so. I'm not sure. Y'all let me know. True. I got on my thing. I'm going to go look up Kraven. Obviously, I know what it means. You know, I got a feel for what it means, but I want to know exactly what. I want to know the definition, but they've been dropping Kraven all through this season. Kraven, motherfuckers. Like, Kraven, it means some shit. The way they talking about, like, Kraven is low down. You know, the way they call you Kraven, boy, that shit, that has some power. That's like them West Coast cats calling each other weird. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? He weird. He Kraven. Troops quit. They quit on right now, like TSA during the shutdown. They ain't getting no money. They was like, listen, kids are starving. You know, wives is beefing. You know what I mean? We out here fighting, y'all, fighting, defending this spot. Nobody giving us no coin. Can't do this for no coin. We got to quit. Sorry. We like you and everything, but we like getting paid more. And Damon was very tight about that. He was like, it's going to be some cutthroats coming in your house, taking food out your babes, out your kids' mouths, and having their way with your wives. lives, threatened them. You know, they was like, all right, well, we'll take our chances. You stay cool. They stepped off. They left the job. Aylin stood up to Pops. Aylin was like, yo, Rhaenyra needs your help. And Pops is still kind of salty that, you know, Rhaenyra, she didn't make Aylin a lord. So Aylin up's like, yo, why you still mad at her? He's like, she won't recognize you the way you need to be recognized. Aylin was like, it took you all this time to recognize me. What are you talking about? I like that, man. I'm seeing a lot of the common folk, like, they speaking up. They speaking up in this episode. Aegon still kind of laid up with the witch. I think her name is Alice. I forget. They laid up. You know, she trying to tell him, like, take it easy. Get your mind right. Like, you know what I mean? Heal up. Heal up. You know, like, heal up. Just be cool. Get your strength back. The people think you're dead. So just play that and pop up in the spring. You know, take this winter to just, like, hibernate. You know what I mean? Let's see what's on streaming. Let's cuddle. You know, it's for the best. You know, Aegon ready to move around. He's like, yo, I gotta get to going. I had a dream. My dragon out here looking for me. I gotta find my dragon. I can't be laid up like this. He's just real stubborn about it. So, you know, she's telling him, you know, listen, nah, that's probably not the right thing. And it's hard to tell, you know, because she's a witch. Can you trust her? Like, is her caution genuine, or is she trying to rock him to sleep? So when he's about to really leave, she says, yo, hold, let me show you something. She pull out an old trunk. She got 5 dragon eggs. She done froze some dragon eggs. She got 5 dragon eggs on ice. Yo, look at this. I know you out there looking for Vhagar, but I got 5. You know what I mean? Look at this. Come on now. Who loves you? You know, so there's that moment. Then there's, we see homegirl. I forget the queen that they went over and got some money from. I forget her name. Homegirl slapped the shit out of Ashy. Wow, slapped. I hate to see that shit. Slapped the shit out of Ashy. It reminded me of when Jules slapped Rue. Slapped her. Wow. You know what I mean? What the fuck is the problem? So, but she slapped him and spared her. She was like, you know, I know you bugging out. You know, I know you caught up in all of this. But I know you want to, you know, I know you want to be in the world. Because she was like, listen, all I wanted was to have a dragon. And I think I could control this dragon. I don't like to just be hiding out in the cave. I know what I did was crazy, but it wasn't intentional. You know, I want to be free. I wanted to go see my sister. I didn't even get to see my sister. That's how the people saw me, because I'm out there trying to peep my sister, but I moved too slow, and I missed her. The homegirl was like, all right, listen, I'm going to let you go, but if this shit happened again, I'm going to kill you. And she, you know, right before that, she was just watching somebody die. She was like, oh, it's fascinating every time. So she got a nice little piece of bloodthirst. We see a moment with Aelin and Bella. They have a little black love moment where, you know, Aelin is so, like, as she said, you're so dutiful. You know what I'm saying? He out there trying to save the day. And she's like, well, slow down, brother. You know what I mean? Slow down. I ain't in a hurry. Come on now. Look at me. You know what I'm saying? Let's just be in this moment. He like, well, I gotta save. She's like, listen. You know how they doing the little in the romance in the little romantic movies, you know, back in the days, and like, but I gotta do something. Put the finger on the lips. Be present. They start kissing and shit. So that was good. I like to see that. Ormond and Daeron. This is Alicent's son. They still over there. Is it Daeron or Daeron? Daeron. Shout out to my man. I grew up with a cat named Daeron. Shout out to my man Daeron from Coney Island. But yeah, man. Ormond and Daeron. Daeron is like one of the kings that could be king, and Ormond is kind of taking advantage of him. And then there's the other cat that's kind of like, yo, who's been out in the world they, you know, Darren or Dayron, like, yo, dog, where you been? You know, this shit is crazy. This nigga's, you know, it's basically like he's being like punked a little bit. This was prison. He got his hand in his back pocket. You know, like he's scared. He's scared. He don't know how to hit, and he's by himself. And he's talking to this man like, yo, you know these motherfuckers, these niggas. He don't want me to be the man. He's using this whole shit. And his friend is like, dog, but you like the king. You could really exert your will, your power. He's like, man, I don't know. So anyway, they going back and forth. Helena's kind of a brat to me. I don't got a whole lot of patience for Helena. It's just this one thing, it's another, but she's a hell of a knitter. Like that little quilt she put together, well, that shit is detailed. What's that shit say? Amon. I don't know what that's about. I can't even read my, I got my hand right. I ain't typed these out. This is fresh. This is longhand. Oh, I guess this is the end. Yeah, this is the end. My question is, did they hang Loras or they just kidnapped him? Because they pull up on him at the very end and it's like, looks like it's like in a forest with a bunch of people hanging. I'm like, damn, they about to hang the black man? But I don't know. It looked like they about to wrap something around. I don't know if they hung him or they just captured him. Who knows? But that's what I got from House of the Dragon. Listen, I probably don't do the best House of the Dragon recaps. Y'all tell me in the comments. Again, I tried to do a little poll. Y'all let me know how y'all even feeling about this season. This was a decent episode. It had a little bit of excitement to it, but, you know, overall, it is what it is. It's time to go to Queens before we get up out of here. I know heartbreak. I know setbacks. You know what I mean? Let's go. Ups and downs. This Raising Kanan intro is still my favorite intro out of all of the Power intros, I think. I would have to. I know we did a ranking, me and Muhammad, we did a ranking. And I forget where it came in. We must have came in maybe two or number one. Surprisingly, for as bad as it was, Force had a nice little... had a nice little intro. I think they had, what's my man's name from Chicago? Birthday Sex Cat. Oh, man, what's his name? Something with a J. Damn, I'm terrible. And I'm not doing a whole lot of fact checking, but y'all know who I'm talking about. Stars, boy, they've been pumping this Fightland show. It don't look that interesting to me. I mean, hopefully it's good, but it doesn't, from the previews, I'm so not interested in that shit. Hopefully it's good. Also, shout out to Courtney Kemp, 50, and everybody. I see that the Power Universe, I see based off the success of End Deal with Nemesis and Courtney, that the Power shows is coming over to Netflix. So that should be cool. And, you know, maybe even more people will be hip to Power, which is crazy to think, because I think Power is a fucking hit, but it is on Stars, and that's kind of like over there, you know, so we'll see how it benefits from being platformed on Netflix, even, you know, after all this time. We'll see. Season 5, episode 6 of Raising Kanan, Dark Matter. Luckily, I don't know what happened, but something, I don't know if I came across something online or whatever, but luckily I realized, oh, there's a new episode of fucking Raising Kanan, because I saw a meme that was saying, it was what 50 posted. He was like, yo, Marvin beat Kanan so bad, we're going to be away for 2 weeks. I thought that was his way of saying, you know, there's two bye weeks, because, you know, Power's known for taking just a random bye week in the middle of the season. But it was like 2 weeks. So I thought it was going to be no Raising Kanan this past week either. But sure enough, they came back. We opened up. Marvin is tired of Rock's bullshit. You know, he's kind of like just going over the whole loo of it all. Like, yo, so you always said you never wanted Lou to just wind up, you know what I mean, in the woods and nothing. Like, with the time we took Lou to rehab, and he was afraid. He was thinking he's going to get killed and left in the woods. And you was like, nah, we would never do that. And then you turn around and discard him into the woods. And she was like, well, I was not had, this is what I had to do. And he just looking at her like, yo, you moving reckless. Now I'm your brother and it's just us. But like, I'm losing my patience. You're killing me. I mean, you killed your brother, but you know, you're killing me metaphorically. Like, it's a lot. So we see that. That's what that starts off. We go to Kanan and Jarita. They chilling. They laid up. She's kind of nursing his wounds. This is now. They having a conversation. She's like, so what do you really do? And all of this. This is where Kanan kind of comes clean. And Jarita realizes, you know, she's been a pawn since the beginning of their relationship. She's been being, you know, he's been using her to get info about, you know, her thing with Flossie and all of that, and finds out that Rock is his mom's. And, you know, it's interesting because Kanan and Rock will say anything, anything. They are so tunnel vision and damn near delusional, but like tunnel vision and focus to get what they want. They will finesse and say whatever they need to say to anybody to get what they want, right? So he's talking to Jarita like, look, man, you know, this was one of the funniest lines. He said, he's talking about Rock. He was like, she's my mother. It sounds like more than it is. That's hilarious. She's my mother. It sounds like more than it is. No, nigga, that's your mom's. It is more than what it is. It's your mother. It don't get no more than that. But anyway, you know, he's telling y'all that, oh, girl, I caught feelings for you. I really feel you. And I don't know if he really Gina or if he really did catch feelings. Because as Meech would say, Kanan been a bit of a tender dick nigga throughout this whole season. He was laid up with homegirl. I forget my homegirl's name that got killed from the group. And maybe somebody else, you know. Kanan fall in love pretty fast. He love everybody but his moms. But, you know, so he's telling Jarita. I call her Jarita or Jarita and all this type of shit. Call her Jarita. He's like, yo, Drita. Call Jarita. You know, like, I'm feeling you. Like, you know, like, it's about us. I developed feelings. I caught feelings. At one point, it was about the money. It was about the business. But, like, you know, I started liking you. And I'm doing this for us. I'm doing this for you. I need you to be down. And she's like, I'm down. So either she's stupid or, you know, whatever. A little bit of both. There's a cop. So Garcia still kind of trying to get some info on the killing of Famous. Find out if it was cop related. So he's talking to one of the big wigs. Pun intended. Because this cop that he's talking to, his wig is terrible. It's distracting in the scene, but talking to one of his superiors and he's trying to get some information. And the cop is like, listen, Baptiste was dirty, you know, like Baptiste didn't resign honorably. He was kind of pushed out, you know. You know, I mean, you ain't hear this from me, but that's what it is. And I'm like, damn, Baptiste was dirty. I don't even remember Baptiste being dirty. I know Howard was dirty, you know, but, I don't remember. It's been so long sometimes. But, you know, so now Garcia, he got that under his hat. He's going to follow up on that. Like, you know, like a newly dirty detective. We got a scene where Juke is disappointed in Kanan. She's trying to figure out what happened with the loot thing. And Kanan is kind of like, he's saying, it wasn't my fault. It was Rock's fault. And Juke don't want to hear that shit. She's like, you can't be a man and act like a bitch. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, you always on some bullshit. You always blaming your moms. You know what I mean? You ain't shit. And you probably never been shit. So now they fell out. I hate to see Juke and Kanan fall out, but that's what's going on. Then we got Olga. Famous's mom popped through with some old Kanan clothes. She come through crying. And Rock don't got too much emotion for all that shit. There's a funny moment where Rock is kind of passing a little ornate tissue holder, Kleenex holder over to Olga, like, oh, wipe your face. But it's just so like, I don't like all of this sadness shit. Go ahead, wipe your face. But Olga says to, she tells Rock, yo, Lou used to tell Jess, I think that's her daughter's name that used to date. Yeah, Lou used to tell Jess, or Jennifer, I forget, that he always looked up to you, he always wanted to be like you, and, you know, all of this shit, which I'm sure they kind of twist the knife a little bit with Rock. But it's like, damn, you know, he's like, don't even sound like Lou. And say, like, yeah, man, that's the thing. That's the thing about people. People that you love, they could be so totally different, you know, than what you expect. That was a little haunting. We see Breeze scoping out the new potential connect, or not even the new potential, but Rock's other connect, Hafiz. I guess he was high. I don't know if he worked with Joaquin, but like Rock's other connect at the, you know, at the direction of Stefano. Stefano is obsessed with Rock. He like, yo, he's, you know, we gotta shit. Not cut her up at the knees. We gotta cut her up. Cut her at the neck. Get her out of here. You know, Stefano is the worst, boy. It's one thing to have a salty past employer, but this motherfucker is on a warpath. He do not want Rock to eat at all. Got Breeze just kind of tracking, following. I don't know if they were going to kill him, but later on he goes to Stefano. He's like, you know, is this a little, are we being a little excessive? Stefano is like, nah, listen, I don't, you know what I mean? It's over for Rock. We need to shut it all the way down, all the way. Marvin back on his John Wick. He shoots through the door, the little hangout, you know, the little employee lounge for all of the little, you know, the dope boys, Kanan's dope boy crew. Shoots through there. He got the rifle. He looking, got the shotgun. He looking through. He don't see Kanan. I guess he was looking for Kanan. He don't see nobody. He don't kill nobody, but they are shook. They like, oh, hell no. Nah. Because they was just kicking it. They was having a good time. They talking about how much money they was getting, how much pussy they getting. You know, locker room at the house. Like, yo, we winning. Boom, big ass, you know, slug go through the door. Somebody could have died. They shook. They, you know, they still new to this. You know what I mean? These flashes of danger are brand new. They haven't become jaded to the game yet. So that got them all fucked up. Breeze tries to give Kanan a brand new whip. Kanan is reluctant. He's like, you know, my mom's bought me a car. I gave that shit back because I know it's always strings attached, you know. I always like that, you know, for as annoying as he can be, particularly in all of these business dealings, Kanan is forthright. He's going to say exactly what he feel. He ain't going to leave nothing unsaid. He's going to say, he's peeping the shit. He's going to say, this is how I feel. This is how I'm seeing the game. You know, I don't trust none of y'all. I just trust you to, business is business. Breeze hit him with the Yo We Brothers spiel again. He's like, I know that might not mean nothing to you, but it mean everything to me. Kanan says, all right, takes the keys, and they pull off. They got Marvin at Lou's gravesite. Guzzling some Henny, brought some Henny. He's like, yeah, I know you was on the wagon when you died, so I'm just going to drop this off. You can do whatever you want with it. That was an interesting moment. I had a question for y'all, because there's probably maybe two people that I could think of off the top of the head whose gravesite that I've been to a couple times, you know, sit there and you know, have the conversation. Do y'all go to gravesites and have conversations with the dead? Or just in general, do y'all talk to the dead? People have passed on. Do y'all, you know, have any conversations? You know, let me know. I don't know if that's morbid, but let me know in the comments. It made me think about it. Engage. Let's get in the conversation in the comments. Rock visits Lou's old shrink, trying to find out some more. Yo, what did Lou think about me? The shrink is like, listen, that's privileged information. Even after death, I can't tell you, you know, but you know, why does it matter? He starts to get in her head and she's like, yo, what you, why are you asking me all these questions? Like, listen, when you on the couch, it's about you. And, you know, Rock barely respect all that mental health shit in the first place. So then she kind of impatient and breaks out. Garcia pulls up on Baptiste at his going away party. questioning him about him being dirty. Baptiste is tight. He get pissed off, threatens to whip Garcia ass, but he doesn't. Then later on, Baptiste pulls up to Garcia's house. This is where everybody pull up to Garcia's house. Garcia might need to move. They always catching him off guard. Garcia! He's like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? That's when you know you're a recently dirty cop, because you haven't learned to look over your shoulder. When you're taking money, you need to look over your shoulder. He think he leave the job at home. Like when he hang up his little cap, you know, he think he going home and that's it. That's the end of the day. Nah, nigga, these streets, they want more. So anyway, Baptiste pull up on Garcia. They go to his backyard. Baptiste confesses, yeah, I got caught up. Basically to survive in this game, to kind of clear these cases, to build your clearance record and, you know, your clearance rate, it's got to be quid pro quo. You got to share, you know, information with people out in the field, and you try to be strategic about what you give, and hopefully you don't put anybody in danger. So long story short, I figured Famous, you know, the fact that he killed the drug dealer that nobody liked, I felt like it would be negligible to just give you a little bit of insight on Famous. And he gave it to, you know, he said some old school drug dealers, and they were like, well, who was it? Turns out it was Snaps and Pop. And it sounds like, you know, he said Snaps and Pop hate Rock, you know, I guess because Rock allegedly killed or was responsible for Defcon's death. You know, they hate her. They hate her. And I guess, you know, they plotting. They always, they cunning, you know, similar to like Breeze. They cunning. When they was like, I guess they saw that if they got Famous killed, it would drive a wedge between Kanan and Rock. You know, so that's what happened. So now Garcia knows that, has that information to give to Jukebox. Baptiste, you know, I guess he's endangered and he feels, you know, he might have put himself in the crosshairs by letting that information go. And maybe he just can't live with himself for being a dirty cop, but he goes home, puts on all his regalia, stands in front of all of his medals and certificates and trophies and gets casket fresh, puts his little white gloves on and puts the gun to his temple and blows his brains out, kills himself. Garcia goes to meets up with Jukebox at the donut spot again, gives Jukebox that information that she was looking for, also gives Jukebox all of the money that she gave her down to the dollar. Because he wants to cash out. He don't want to be dirty no more. He realized he was the only non-dirty cop. You know, damn. Now he on the dark side. He don't like that. You know, he don't like that. So he gives her back the money. Jukebox says, I got one more thing I need you to ask. Because, you know, Marvin introduced Jukebox to Amber. They brought the two of them together. And in that moment, Marvin talking to Amber about the cops that have been questioning her, and Jukebox, like, you know, tells Amber to go hit the swings and tries to get the information from Marvin. He's like, I can't tell you right now, but, you know, it's some old one good thing, you know, one good deed deserves another type of shit. I guess I'll tell you later, but it's crazy. There's a theory, and I don't know how strong it is, but there's this theory I seen where they're like, is Amber wearing a wire? I don't know. I thought maybe last episode, maybe just because in that setting, but it's like, damn, she wearing a wire every time they meet. You know, maybe we'll see. Let me know what y'all think about that. Flossie and Marvin really be kicking it, boy. They be just, you know, just not laid up, but they be chopping it up, boy. Bussing down some whiskey, and just talking about grief. I mean, I don't know if it's gonna stay platonic, but they seem to really enjoy each other's company. I think Marvin going to wind up Jewish by the end of this whole situation. I found out Flossie, I didn't know, I heard she was on American Horror Story or whatever. I've never watched that show, but I guess that's where people have seen her. But also, I found out that Flossie, and I'm not in front of the computer. I'm not really in front of the IMDb, so forgive me. The actress that plays Flossie is actually Sasha Penn, the creator. That's his wife. You know what I mean? So there's that little tidbit. Stefano, we got that. Stefano cuts into Rock's business. He sits down with Hafiz, and he's like, look, we'll pay you X amount more so you don't do business with Rock. I'm really just trying to shut her down. At first, they don't really want to, but, you know, he's like, yo, you're looking to gift toss in the mouth. Give us the business. You got Breeze out here. He's young and upcoming. I mean, he's the future. And they say, all right, let's do it. So then that's that. See, later on, Rock comes through. They tell her, yo, man, we're cutting you off. She's like, for what? Like, we're cutting you off. We're doing business with somebody else. She's like, well, okay, why you can't do business with both of us? And then she figures out, oh, you're doing business with Stefano. She says, I bet. What happened to all of that whole shit about, you know, you'll kill yourself before you go against your word and all this other shit? You don't say nothing. You know, old Geraldo Hafiz. He looked like Geraldo. He's just quiet. He don't really give her too much. She's like, I bet. You think you've seen the last of me. You know what I mean? I bet. You know, one of the dudes tried to put a hand on her to get her up out of there. She get your ass up off me. She do a little Jamie Foxx. Get your ass up off me. Breeze is methodical because Kanan is trying to like, oh, did we get to the point? Oh, we forgot. Kanan is just as unhinged as Rock this episode. Kanan goes back to the headquarters. Funny enough, I guess Kanan pulls up to the little spot. He don't see this big ass hole in the door. But when he pull up on them, you know, they obviously spooked. You know what I mean? A little shook that they could have almost got killed. So when Kanan like, yo, fuck is going on? Why y'all not at work? One of the homies, old, you know, young, unsolicited advice. He's like, hey, man, things are crazy right now. I think we should all take a step back. I'm looking at you. We haven't seen you. I'm looking at you. You don't look like you all the way together. You know what I mean? You might want to take a beat and reassess the situation. Kanan like, what the fuck did you just say? And he hit him with, you know, one to the chest and a headshot. Puts him out of there, splatters him. He's done. Anybody else shook? Yeah, they like, no, they start doing busy work. Niggas start selling drugs to each other. You know what I'm saying? They nervous. They like, yo, nigga, you want to buy? Yeah, nigga. Kanan is trying to shoot up Cafe Vu. He's running past Breeze. Breeze is like, for what? Why would you do that? He's like, you know, you just doing that to get back at your mom's? He's like, no, it ain't about Rock. He's like, nah, dog, you take it easy. Relax. You're moving too emotional. I like that Breeze is like real. And I mean, they driving the point home because they always in front of a chessboard. So I guess they really just trying to tell you that he's looking at his next move. He's really patient and he's really like, there's a lot of deliberation in every move that he makes. He doesn't just be moving willy nilly. Jarita quits on Flossie. Flossie is like, yeah, you ain't really been on it either way. It is what it is. You know, so long, goodbye. So she steps off, leaves the door open. Kanan is in the hall. Kanan come through with the gun. I'm like, oh, they about to kill Flossie. Kanan walks in. Flossie catch him slipping. Got the gun straight to his temple. She's like, you lucky I just got a new carpet. And then basically she gets out of him that he is Rock's son. And we'll see what happens with that. Rock and Marvin, they double back. They pull up on Hafiz back over to their little hangout. And Rock come through with the silencers in the leather murder duster. Pulls up and winds up gunning down. Hafiz is first in command. I don't know why they didn't kill Hafiz. I don't know where Hafiz was, but it just seems like to leave that loose that loose thread is only going to be way, way, way more trouble than it's worth, right? It just seems like maybe that was a reckless play. But we'll see. You know, Marvin, as normal, pardon me, not normal, but Marvin, as he has been kind of throughout this season, is kind of like, yo, do you think we should have gone this far? You know, he kind of Danny Glover with it on this. Like, yo, come on now. Is this a little much? Like, but I'm down. I'm going to do what we need to do. So they put Hafiz's, you know, number one down. And we're going to see what's going to happen. We're going to see if there's going to be how this war is going to develop. Because obviously Stefano, that affects Stefano. That affects, you know, Hafiz, affects Breeze, that, you know, whatever. We'll see what happens. Obviously now, and I don't know if Jukebox is going to tell Kanan because it looks like they fell out. But like now that we know that Snaps and Pop has something to do with the death of Famous, are Snaps and Pop going to get targeted? Is one of them going to get killed? Who knows? We know Breeze, just the origin of Breeze, gets killed by Ghost from what I remember. What are we, 6 episodes in? Something like that. Are Ghost and Tommy going to pull up? Are we going to see that? Or is that going to happen on Origins? Who knows? What are y'all thinking? How you feeling? What you thinking of this season so far? What you thinking of this episode? Actually, I'm really enjoying this season, to be totally honest with you. But yeah, what y'all think? Did I leave anything out? Y'all got any predictions? You know, all of that. Let's talk about it in the comments. Let's talk about it. Let's get that conversation going. All right? All right, y'all. Before I go, as I've been saying, y'all should know it by heart now. September 20th, Arlington Draft House. September 20th, Arlington Draft House. Not too far. It's not too far in the future. Arlington Draft House, Sunday, September 20th, Arlington Draft House, 7 p.m. I'm coming down there. I want to sell that bitch out. DamianLemon.com, ArlingtonDraftHouse.com. Tickets are still on sale. Pick them up. I would love to see y'all because I'm about to have a good fucking time while I'm out there. I like coming to that spot. I like that venue. But that's that. That's that. And listen, as always, tell a friend to tell a friend and even an enemy to get in the conversation. I'm out.